Today's words are from Romans chapter 7, verses 24 to chapter 8, verse 2. I will read the words. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. In speaking about a good person, we say that's somebody who can live without the law. But these days, a person who can live without the law seems to be someone who has enough power and money to make law's protection unnecessary. Rather, a person without any power or money cannot live without the law. This is because a person who is in a weak position needs his rights and freedom to be protected within the bounds of the law. Law is a way to resolve and mediate conflicts and disputes, but at the same time, it protects freedom and rights. Now, the laws found in the Bible are no different. God established laws so that his people will live a life which is different from the ways of the world. The spirit of the law that God established is loving God and loving others. Now, the law, God's law, which is based on such spirit, protects individuals' freedom and rights. In the Bible, there are many references to the law. If we take a narrow view of the law, they consist of the five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If we take a broader view of the law, it consists of all of the regulations mentioned in the Bible, which are to be kept by the people of God. Because there is law, vulnerable people were placed under protection. The law protects one's rights and liberties, but once a law is established, an obligation to keep the law is also created at the same time and puts a brake on what one can do. People who are placed under the law cannot do as they please and live according to their desires. In Samuel chapter 25, which is a subject of this week's Bible study, there is a story about David marrying Abigail, who was the wife of Nabal. Later, after time passed, David, after he becomes the king of Israel, takes Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah, as his wife. Now, what is common about these two events is that David took a woman who was a wife of another man after the man died. But there was one big difference. When David took Abigail, who was wife of Nabal as his wife, Nabal had died. But with Bathsheba, he had slept with her while Uriah was alive. According to the law, since David slept with Bathsheba, who had a husband, he had committed the violation of the law, which prohibited adultery. But in Abigail's case, nothing happened while her husband was alive, and David married her after her husband had died, so there was no breaking of the law. As long as there is law, a person who is placed under the law must keep the law. If one fails to do that, it becomes a sin. In Romans chapter 7, the sin of adultery is used to give an example of the restriction put on a person by the law and the freedom from law. This is from Romans chapter 7, verses 2 to 3. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Now, if Abigail had gone to David while her husband Nabal was alive, she would have become an adulteress because her husband was alive. But because her husband had died, she was no longer under the law and could go to David without any problem. So, the way to enjoy freedom from law is for the person who is an interested party under the law to die. But what happens when it concerns a single individual, a person who is not in a mutual relationship as that of a husband and a wife? For an individual, it's also the same. An individual is not an exception. In case of an individual, the way to obtain freedom from the law is for that person to die. When a suspect of a crime dies, there is no longer any reason to punish him. We see from time to time that when a person who is under an investigation without being detained kills himself, the law enforcement agency announces that it no longer has a right of arraignment against this person, and therefore the case is terminated. The person who should receive punishment has died, so there is no reason for a punishment or prosecution. But if we think about the fact that one's life is more precious than anything in the world, we may come to question, what good is it that the law enforcement no longer has the prosecuting power over a person if that person is dead? But there is a way. The best way for an individual to get freedom from law is for that person to die in Jesus Christ. Now, this death is not the body dying after ceasing to breathe. It is a special kind of death. It is a death where our bodies continue to live, but because we died to law in Jesus, we become freed persons no longer under the bounds of law. Now, what does it mean to become freed persons from the law? If you fail to keep the law, it is committing sin. And the consequence of sin is death. Of course, one does not face death because of some minor violations. When we look at chapter 21 of Exodus, it lists crimes that are punishable by death. The law provides that a person who murders, who hits his parents, kidnaps another, or curses his parents must all be put to death. It is hard to judge how bad a curse is without hearing it ourselves, but haven't we all talked back to our parents or said bad things to our parents when we were immature? Now, if such talks were classified as cursing one's parents, then that person would have to die. In chapter 20 of Leviticus, all kinds of adultery and sexually immoral acts are to be punished by death. In chapter 31 of Exodus, it even says that a person who does not keep the Sabbath should be put to death. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for people of God to survive without dying under the law during the Old Testament times? To be freed from the law means that even if you commit a sin, which is specified in the law, that one will not be condemned for that sin, and such sin will not lead to death. And we note that the law does not only condemn crimes that can be seen. In Romans chapter 7, verse 7, do not covet is mentioned as an example of the law. The law says that coveting something is in itself a sin, even if we don't know whether such covetousness led to any consequences. And Jesus said that even the sins you commit in your heart only, are violations of the law. If you curse your brother, you commit murder. If you lust after a woman, you commit adultery. Even these sins that you commit in your hearts, all of them, if you die in Jesus Christ with respect to the law, then you become free from the law. You become a free person. Then we come to the question of whether it is okay not to keep the law and the commandments in the Bible. This is from Romans chapter 7, verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. The law and the commandments are holy, righteous, and good. But when they cannot be kept, they lead to death. Law is a good thing, but because it gives rise to the bad consequence of leading a person to death, one comes to doubt as to whether the law is really something beneficial. God loved his people and established good laws so that they will live lives that are different from the ways of the world. But as a result, all of his people came to face death. Can you imagine how agonizing this must have been for Father God? So God gave us a new law. This is the law which is in Jesus Christ. But a person comes to understand what sin is through the law. The true function of the law is for us to get such an understanding. So whenever we do something wrong, don't we get an inner prompting which says, I shouldn't do this? One can get addicted to smoking and drinking or other things. And there are things that we keep on doing, although they might not be rise to the level of an addiction. Now, if we think in our hearts, this isn't right, it is probably because you already know what ought to be. Such thoughts prove that the law, which prompts us to have such thoughts, is good. Therefore, we cannot say that the law, which is holy and good, has no value or has no benefits. The law is good, and therefore it should be kept. But we cannot keep the law by ourselves. Maybe we can keep it momentarily. We can keep a few of them to a certain degree. But this never lasts. A person who has been born again in the blood of Jesus Christ, but he's unable to become completely freed from sin. And why is this so? It is because the law of sin tries to grab onto our bodies, and our bodies try to follow the law of sin. So it is really difficult to live as a believer. You have been forgiven and called. You have been deemed to be right with God. You have the moving experience of salvation. It would be great if you could live righteously until your last breath, but this is not the case. This is the painful dilemma of living. This is from Romans chapter 7, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. The reason this is happening is because of the sin which lives in our bodies. Put it differently, it is because of the sinful nature which is within me. A person who is born again in Jesus knows that he ought to live by obeying God's laws, But the sinful nature within him opposes the laws of God. And there is more of Apostle Paul's laments. This is from Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Within a life of a believer, the law of God and the law of sin fight each other. So living is painful for this reason. But this pain that comes from inner conflicts is actually a natural process for believers. What is thankful is that the person is not completely under the power of law of sin or is controlled by sin. A person whose body of sin has died and been born again is clearly different from the old person. Before Apostle Paul met Jesus and considered himself to be an excellent observer of the law, he didn't suffer any pain from inner conflicts. But after he met him, he had to suffer the pain of internal conflicts. I don't do the good I want to do, but rather I do the evil that I don't want to do. I see how the law of sin, which is in my body, gets hold of me. This kind of regret is possible only because a person is born again in Jesus Christ. A truly evil person does not have any inner conflict. Every Sunday, how does the first prayer that calls us to worship by the worship leader go? The worship leader prays for the forgiveness of the faults and sins and mistakes that were committed during the past week. Why would such prayer be repeated week after week? We pray this way because we were not completely victorious in the battle between the law of God and the law of sin. And because at times the law of sin got better of us. If after we were born again in Jesus Christ, we can win against the law of sin every time, then there wouldn't be any need to offer a prayer of repentance. We give a prayer of repentance because there are times that we cannot win over the law of sin. We pray, I saw how the law of sin has taken hold of me, and this causes me pain. Father God, please forgive me. Apostle Paul says that his weakness causes him pain. He is ashamed to say that he's a person born again. And so Apostle Paul, in seeing himself this way, cries out. And this is from today's text, verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who can save Apostle Paul? Who can save us? Save me from this body of death? The right answer is Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul became a person who was born again in Jesus Christ. But he saw how he was still under the influence of the law of sin. He says that because he saw how it was Jesus Christ alone who could rescue him from the pain of inner conflicts caused by the clashing of the two laws, that he confesses he's thankful to Jesus. And this confession is stated in verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter how hard Apostle Paul thought in his regrets, he could only come to the conclusion that only Jesus Christ could save him from his body subjected to death. And he gives thanks to God because of Jesus Christ. But what does he mean when he says in the latter part of verse 25, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin? The latter part of verse 25 restates the conclusion reached in verse 24. He is a wretched person, and the only person who can save him from his body subject to death is Jesus Christ. But he cannot avoid continuing to live with inner conflicts. A believer serves the law of God with his heart, and with his body serves the law of sin. And because of this, at times he loses out to the body, which serves the law of sin and commits sin. But this does not lead to death or eternal punishment. This is so because the person now has become a child of God in Jesus Christ. This is from today's text, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This verse tells us what a believer should never forget as he goes through the inner conflicts and battles between the two laws. For a person who is in Jesus Christ, there is never any condemnation. A condemnation implies judgment. This verse means that during the past week, although we may have lost a battle between the heart that would serve God and the body that would serve the law of sin, there can never be any judgment for a person who has been born again in Jesus Christ. My heart wants God's law, but my body follows the law of sin. This can cause me pain, but it does not mean that I will be condemned. But this does not mean that it's okay to willfully commit sin by rationalizing it. Since we are weak, we may lose out to the law of sin as the two laws battle it out in us. But we must always try to do our best to obey God's law. We must move from serving the law of sin to serving the law of God little more today than from yesterday. A little more this week than the past week, little by little. If there is someone who becomes angry and rages at people every morning and night, I pray you will reduce the number of times you become angry with the heart that would serve the laws of God. If you're a coveting person, reduce covetousness. If you're someone with a lot of hate and criticisms for others, reduce the amount of hatred and criticisms. We are to refrain little by little every day from things like smoking and drinking, other addictions, bad habits, or things that are forbidden by law. This is sanctification. It is sanctification to increase the time we serve the church, the body of Christ, and other members, little by little, and to live out the love of God and others, little by little, by increasing what you give up, by self-sacrifice, little by little. Until we stop breathing on this earth, we must continue the battle between God's law and the law of sin. We must make sure that the weight of heaven leans towards the law of God rather than the law of sin when it comes to us. In order to do so, we must stay close to God's law through worship, where there are prayers and the word. If you give up on faith, saying, "I can't," out of guilt, you are losing to the law of sin. Even if I'm lacking, deficient, makes mistakes, and even commits a crime, I am to never let go of the law of God in my heart in Jesus Christ. There is never any condemnation or judgment for anyone who is in Jesus Christ. And do not be bound by sin which you committed long ago. In Jesus Christ, there can never be condemnation or judgment. Now, chapter 8, verse 2 tells us why there is no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I will read this verse by replacing you with me. Please repeat with me in your heart. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Only the law of the Spirit who gives life, which is in Jesus Christ, can save me. The word given to us through today's text today, the 502nd anniversary of the Reformation, is as follows. Reformation is about going back to the word, understanding its meaning, and living it out. In 1517, Luther proclaimed 95 proclamations on the gates of the Cathedral of the Wittenberg University. The source of Luther's strength to bring on the Reformation came from Romans chapter 1, verse 17, which declares, "The righteous will live by faith." That a person who has been born again in Jesus Christ in faith, the righteous one, will live. This is the same as saying that a righteous one will never face condemnation or judgment. This became the occasion for Luther to move from the state of being in painful dilemma to the state of being full of joy. Because Luther understood that there can never be any condemnation or judgment for a person who is in Jesus Christ, he could not agree the theory which said that Christians can reduce the time in purgatory by going on pilgrimages to touch holy articles of saints or seeing them. And he became confident that the theology which taught that you can move from being in purgatory to heaven and receive salvation by undergoing self-mortification or good works was not correct. At the Church of Wittenberg, Allerheiligen Monastery, there are holy articles which were owned at one time by King Frederick III, who has supported Luther. The content of these articles are as follows. 4 holy articles from where the Lord Jesus Christ was born, 5 articles from the liquids collected from the Holy Virgin Mary, 1 article from the place where the Lord Jesus was circumcised. The total number of articles, 5,005. 100 days of forgiveness for each article. Blessed is the person who owns them. Now, King Frederick possessed 5,005 articles and believed that each article was good to wipe out sins committed over 100 days. So if we multiply 5,005 by 100, it is 500,000 days. And if we were to convert this to years, number of years, it is 1,371 years. Now, Frederick died in 1525 at the age of 64. The number of days he earned as being sin-free is enough to earn him forgiveness if he had lived life for 1,000 years. This is not all. At the time, Johannes Tetzel, a Dominican monk, left these legendary words. The minute there is a sound of coins that fall into their chest, the spirit rises to heaven. Now, in Article 27 of the 95 proclamations which Luther wrote, says this: the people who make up the saying that the spirit is freed from purgatory the minute there's a sound of coins falling into the chest is giving a totally false sermon. What looks to be ridiculous theology today in the eyes of believers was widely accepted at the time of Reformation. Now, according to this theology, people who do not have money or power can't go to heaven. Since common people cannot possibly hope to receive forgiveness of all of their sins while they're on this earth, most believe that they would go to purgatory. So it was hard enough for them to receive forgiveness of their own sins that they committed while they lived, but they had to make an offering for their family members who had gone before and were now in purgatory. The poor people even had to participate in the Crusades to receive forgiveness by offering up their lives. Luther, when he went back to the Word, he realized that there was no way for human beings to receive forgiveness of sins except by receiving forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. For people who are faced with belief that even if they engage in self-mortification or good works all their lives, or even if they were to offer up their lives, that it wasn't enough. The gospel, that there is no condemnation and judgment in Jesus Christ, was truly a gospel. Now, this truth was recorded by the Apostle Paul 1,500 years ago, before Reformation. The Reformation is not creating something new. It is going back to the Bible, which is the Word of God, and understanding such words in the right way, and correcting what has gotten away from the essence of God's words, and to teach what has been corrected and to live that out. Now, what is the Reformation that is needed by me today? What is the Reformation which is necessary for our church today? What is the Reformation which is necessary for the Church of Korea today? Let us think about this deeply, even if for only this week. Let us remember that there's never any condemnation or judgment for people who are in Jesus Christ and become the true reformers who continuously win over the body that would follow the laws of body and live out the reformation of faith. Let us pray. Father God, you have made us die to law in Jesus Christ and no longer be under the rule of law. We are no longer sinners who are condemned to death. Thank you for making us free people. Although we have become new persons in Jesus Christ, we still fall to sin because we are not yet completely free from sin as we live. When we are caught in the midst of this suffering due to such conflicts, help us to be comforted by your words, which says that there is never any condemnation or judgment for those who are in Jesus Christ, and receive courage. Help us no longer to live as sinners who have been condemned to death or be caught in the guilt of never being able to escape the fetters of sin. Help us to become persons who become better at winning the laws of sin by the laws of the Spirit of life, which is in Jesus Christ, and by doing so, achieve our sanctification every day. Help us to remember that the big turning point to joy in our lives come when we turn back to the words, understand the words, and live out the words. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.